Today's reading is from Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on his head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him out to be crucified. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him a mix of wine and myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you are who are going to destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults onto him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." One man ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain in the temple was torn in two and from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Well, I want to show you something. Those that were with us in Neville House this week have already seen this, but I want to show you this, if I can. So to have a good look at it. There we go. So you want to have a good look at my thing today. I want to have a good look. So this is from a place called Scargill House. Now, Scargill House is a place, you go up towards Skipton, and then and it's kind of between Grassington and Kettlewell. So some of you might know that area quite well, some of you might not. It's a Christian retreat centre. And it's been a Christian retreat centre since 1957. So it's been around a while. It's situated in some beautiful countryside. Its premises, as well as accommodation, there's the dining hall, of course, and there's some lounges. But it also includes a wonderful church building. But actually, the whole place has, I think, such a peaceful sense of God's presence about it. I think being a Christian retreat centre, and we think about all the prayer and all the people that have been in there, no wonder there's such a powerful and peaceful presence of God when you go to it. Who's been to Scargill House? Who knows where I'm talking about? Not loads of you, but some of you. Not that so many of you. There is actually a community of people who live on site all the time. Some are part of staff and some are kind of taking a year out, I suppose, for want of a better term. Some from overseas. The conference centre itself holds weekly conferences. So you can go online and you'll see that over the weeks there are conferences led by different outside guests on all kinds of themes and people booking for the conference for the week. But also, it's a place to go on personal retreat. And that's kind of how I connect with it. A couple of nights, a couple of times a year, I try and get the opportunity to go up and spend that time at Scargill House. And when I go, it is a real gift, actually, when I eventually get there. Sometimes my wife has to push me there. But when I get there, I know that it is a real gift. When I do, I get to go a couple of times a year, probably, just for a couple of nights at a time. And as I go, I just join in the kind of the, I don't go on the conferences that might be running, but you kind of join in the rhythm of the place, really. And they have morning prayers and often have a communion service and things like that. So you just join in where you want to. It's also a really nice space to go some walking and that kind of thing. But in every room in Scargill House, there is one of these on the wall, a wooden cross like this. So often, while I've been there, I've reflected on this image. And I must admit, they're not cheap, but last time I went, I bought one to bring home. But I gave it to Alison and said, can I have that for Christmas? So it ended up being my Christmas present. I just want to share with you just a couple of things that as over the years that I've, well, I said over the time that I've been and I've reflected on it for today, really. And it's two things particularly. And it's really to do not just with the cross, but more this kind of shape underneath the cross. This kind of squiggly kind of shape. Because my first reflection that I want to think about as I look at that particular shape really is that I look at it as a road to. To me, it's the road to the cross. It's the road that Jesus travelled for us. The road to Calvary, to Golgotha, the place of the skull. This road is also known as the Via Dolorosa. It's the way of suffering. You know, a few years ago now, me and Lee were talking about this the other day, I got to watch the Mel Gibson film, The Passion of the Christ. And I, with other Christian leaders, got to go to a pre-show, like a pre before it was released on general release, because there was a lot of hype about it. I got to go with some other church leaders to watch it before on its general release in the Manchester area. But it was at the IMAX theatre, the IMAX cinema. Now, if you know about the IMAX cinema, it's massive. It's really in your face. And it definitely wasn't an easy watch. It wasn't an easy watch because of this honest portrayal of the journey, the road that Jesus took to the cross. His whipped and broken body, a heavy cross on his back, a crown of thorns rammed on his head, the crowd spitting and mocking as he journeyed on. Yet we know, don't we, that he travelled that road for us, for each one of us, to become a sacrifice. Our sin was on him. He died in our place. He took our punishment. We've been singing about that, haven't we? So clearly already. Franklin Graham said this: "We must not forget that it wasn't the Jews that put Jesus on the cross, and it wasn't the Romans. It was my sin. It was your sin. It was the sins of the world." And however hard this road was, Jesus chose to travel it for us. I believe fueled by love. You know, I've also, as I've reflected on that squiggle, that road towards the cross, I've also reflected on the fact that we too are asked to walk the road to the cross. In many ways, that's what we're doing again today through our reading and through our songs and through the communion. We're in some ways travelling again that road to the cross. But I must admit, when I watched the film with all these leaders of the Passion of the Christ, many had to look away. And they had to look away because of its honest and graphic content. But I do feel, however uncomfortable it makes us feel, you know, I believe it's important that we don't look away. We have to look and see what our sinless Saviour went through. We have to look and see and acknowledge what he did and why he did. We sometimes sing a song. We're not going to actually sing this song today, but we sometimes, some of us all know the words of the song called "Come and See." The song lyrics say this: "Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. Come and weep, come and mourn for the sin that pierced him there, so much deeper than the wounds of thorns and nails. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him. Man of heaven, born to earth, to restore us to your heaven, here we bow in awe beneath your searching eyes. From your tears comes our joy. From your death our life shall spring. By your resurrection power we shall rise. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and a guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us, he was made sin. Help us to take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship the Lamb that was slain." As Jesus took that road to Calvary, and we have to look at it, we have to see, when we have to, and as we see, we, however uncomfortable it makes us feel, and in some ways it has to make us, or it should make us uncomfortable, we see what he went through for us because of his love for us. As we take that journey, as we gaze upon the cross today, whichever cross you want to gaze on, to begin to understand and to see what Jesus has done for us. But this, the second part of my reflection, because there's lots of different things, but also when I looked at this sort of squiggle, I think, well, it's like the road to the cross, the road that Jesus took for us. But also when I look at it, there was one particular occasion when I thought about it looking a little bit like a river from. A river flowing from the cross. And to me, this is the river flowing down to the cross to us. To me, it's the river of life. It's living water. It's the river of the Holy Spirit that flows from the cross. It's the river of God's forgiveness flowing to you and me. It's the river of God's grace and mercy. It's the river of God's love and God's freedom and God's friendship and peace and hope. It's the river that flows from the cross, because of the cross, to you and to me. It's a river that we can stand in and feel safe. It's a river that we can wash in and be cleansed on the inside. It's a river that we can bathe in and let its goodness just flow over us. Because there is power in this river. There is power to bring healing in Jesus' name. It's a river that we can drink from and be refreshed. It's a river that can quench our thirst spiritually. And life cannot do that. All this other stuff out there will never quench us. It's the river of living water. And it's the river that we can have fun in. We can receive life and life in all its fullness. So I have that on my windowsill of my, well, I say study, that sounds grand, doesn't it, to have a study? It's Emma's old bedroom that's nice and pink. But I sit and reflect on it quite often, partly because of some of my memories attached to Scargill House, but also I just find it a lovely image. The journey, that the road that Jesus took to the cross for us. The fact that we have to go and take that journey to look at the cross ourselves and see what Jesus has done, why he's done it. But then to see that flow of what comes from the cross, because of the cross, to each one of us. His love and his grace and his mercy, his living water. And you know, what was appropriate, the band had been practicing a new song, and I thought, well, it's not really a song I wanted to sort of introduce maybe today, but when I started to think about the cross and this river, I thought, well, actually, you know what, it is an appropriate new song to sing today. Because it's a song, but it's a new song to us, and it's called Living Water. Let me just read some of the lyrics of that song. It says, this goes out to every outcast, to the just don't quite fit in. Every wrong way, runaway rebel, so ashamed of where they've been. This goes out to every searcher trying to fill the empty space. Well, your searching days are now over. Everything's about to change. Have you heard about the man named Jesus? He's the way, the truth, the life. Stretched out his arms on a rugged cross and paid every sinner's price. So when you're tired of all your running and you don't have to run no more, you can leave it all behind you. Just believe and be reborn. Come on down to the living water. It's an invitation. Waves of mercy washing over you. No more strangers, only sons and daughters. Come on down to the living water and rise up anew. I pray we're going to sing this song and we're going to sing another song, and that'll lead us into communion. But that's my prayer, is that as we meet today on this Good Friday, as we reflect on the cross, as we reflect on the journey that Jesus took, the road he took, the way of suffering, fueled by love. As we take that road again, just through what we're doing today, to see for ourselves, to however disturbing and uncomfortable it might feel, not to look away, but to gaze on the cross. But then to understand that because of the cross, what flows to us now is that invitation. invitation to stand in God's living water, to let it flow over us with his love and his grace and his mercy, bringing us into relationship, restoring hope, healing hearts. That's why this day is a good day, isn't it? It's good for you and it's good for me. So you might not know this song. You might know, if you came to the film that we watched on Monday called Jesus Revolution, which is an excellent film, by the way, they sang this song at the end of it because it talked about this movement of God's God through the kind of maybe through hippies community in the 70s in America. But what was really powerful is these baptism scenes. They kept going down to the river. In fact, they kept going down to the ocean to be baptized in water. We do that here as well. But also we allow the Holy Spirit to baptize us with his power and his love. Let's stand and sing together. So we're going to respond again through communion. It's something that we do in our church once a month, but we always do communion on Good Friday, that opportunity to take the elements again of the wine and the bread. And, we know, don't we, from the Bible that just before Jesus took that journey, took that road to the cross, he met with those closest to him, his closest friends, the disciples, and he had this Last Supper with them, this very simple but very symbolic meal. And we know that when Jesus did, when he met with them, he was talking to them about what was to come. We have this amazing act when he washed his disciples' feet in humility. That's the king, the servant king that he was. But he shared with them this meal, and we know when he took the bread and he broke it, and as he gave it to his disciples, he said those words, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you." When you meet together in the future, when my people meet together in the future, let them break bread together. Let them remember through the bread that this is what I did for them. I went to the cross. I took the journey. My body was whipped, was bruised, was broken for them because a price had to be paid. And then he took the cup. We use juice, but it's a red. Jesus would have used wine, but it's a red drink. And it's symbolic because he said to him, didn't he? He said, "As you drink this, remember, this is about my blood that's going to be shed for you." That blood needed to be shed in the sacrifice so that we can know the cleansing and the power of that blood, bringing forgiveness and love and hope into our lives today. And so all through history, all through the years, Christians have met, haven't they, together. And when they've met together, they've often shared this very simple meal, this very symbolic meal. And it's just been a way of remembering. But not just remembering something that just happened in time that has no relevance today, but to remember its power still meets us in this place today and still cleanses and still brings God's mercy, still brings God's healing, still brings God's hope to us today. So there's an invitation again to come out and to share in bread and a drink today. And as you do, and you can come out, and it's up to you. We're going to include, we're going to have a little bit more worship. Again, the songs that we've chosen special. And as you come out, you can just come out during that worship. And when you come out, you can either take your bread and your drink here, and you could just have it here, or you could take the pieces and you could go back to where you are. You can come on your own, or you can come in a group. You can come with your friends, and you can offer it to each other if you want to. There's no kind of real.